All right. All right. Come on. How many here is ready for God's word today? I can't hear you. Oh, God is good. Amen. Somebody said all the time. Frank, that's good. Thank you so much, Frank. Let's hear it for Frank. Come on. Frank's in the house. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, if you have your Bibles with me, you could turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to encourage you to really bring your Bibles and get a note. I mean, I give out the brochure. You can take a note, which is good. Slide that in your Bible. And I put that together so you can kind of, you know, just look at it and have a devotion for the week and some of the golden nuggets and the bullets there. But, you know, I was just praying this week on the message, and it just hit me, and, you know, to really share. And I think you'll like the title of my message. Don't put it up yet. I'll put it up in just a moment. But in Philippians chapter 4, we know that this is a prison epistle. That's what's so incredible about what the Holy Spirit can do in our lives. Apostle Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the church of Philippi. And if you don't mind, I would like you just to stand real quick with me. Sometimes I have you stand, sometimes I don't. I want you to just get up, because I want you to do something right after I share the screen. Philippians chapter 4, and how many here love the book of Philippians? Come on, somebody say amen. You love it? How many of you love God's word? I love Philippians. I really do. You know, I don't like to say it's my favorite book in the New Testament, because they're so powerful. You know, the Gospel of John. But, you know, it's one of my most read. I probably have memorized many, many scriptures from Philippians. And it just, whenever I share it, it blesses my heart as it does you. Now, check this out. This portion of scripture, and we're just going to begin to in verse 6. Here's what Paul writes. Remember, Philippian jail. He's in jail, writing to the church of Philippi, and he says these words to all of us since he wrote it over 2,000 years ago, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Can someone say everything? Amen. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7, here's the result of supplicating and requesting and praying. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. How? Through Christ Jesus. Can we get a big amen? So let's pray. Got a word from heaven, I believe. Lord, I thank you for this word. I ask you to touch us and minister to us and help us to release some of these anxieties and these problems, the worrying and all those issues. And we ask this in fill us with the Holy Spirit, the power that Apostle Paul walked in while in prison. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't sit. Don't sit yet. Hold on. Here's what I want you to do. Here's the title of my message. Don't worry, be happy. Say that to your neighbor. Don't worry, be happy. Come on, give somebody a high five. Amen. You may be seated. All right. Now the subtitle, now there's another title I have, and that's fine. You can leave that up if you want, but it's called Stop Worrying and Start Living. Amen? Stop worrying and start living. Hallelujah. Now, let me just share something with you, because I like this title. It was echoing in my heart, and it says, don't worry. Listen, be happy. You may remember this song that was written and produced in 1988 by Bobby McFerrin. Does anybody remember that song in the house? Hold on. Turn it up just a little. I just got to help them. Does anybody remember this? right, hold on. Now, listen to the lyrics. We're only going to share a couple. I'll read some. You ready? Here it is. Come on, some Caribbean tonight. Here it is. Listen to this verse. You ready? Listen. Come on, somebody. One more verse. One more verse. Well, that's good enough. That's good enough. That's good enough. That's good enough. Now, do you remember this song? Amen? Check this out. I'm going to read some of the lyrics. I read them last night or early this morning. I can't remember. Don't worry, be happy. Listen to this. You just heard it. And as I was reading, I was giggling to myself because there's such truth to some of this stuff. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. And God, I ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlords say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Listen to this. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no one to make you smile. Don't worry, be happy. Now, I like this one. Check this out. Because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So, come on, don't worry, be happy. Give God some glory, amen? Listen, and stop worrying and start living. So, in this passage of scripture, and I was thinking about this song, there's some truth in that, because think about what it says right up the way. In every life we have some trouble, but when we worry, you make it double. You know, and I'll share, really, because kind of Jesus confirms this, you know, in his scriptures. But as we look in this passage of scripture in Philippians, as I shared with you in verses 6 and 7, in this message, it's tailored-made, this message, for every person in God's house. Now, how many have here today a PhD in worry? I got to be honest. Some of you might not want to raise your hand because you don't want to claim it. I get it. I'm sorry. I'm just not superhuman like some of y'all are, amen? But let me ask you this. How many of you worry more than you should? All right, about six people. All right. Amen. So let me give you some worry realities this morning. And I'll share another message I have, but I don't think it'll be next Sunday on this message part two. But let me give you some worry realities. Worry is the interest we pay on tomorrow's trouble. How many know what I'm talking about? Listen to this one. If we worship as we should, we wouldn't worry as we shouldn't. That's what happened today. Come on. Amen. When we worry, we believe more in our problems than in God's promises. Can I say that again? When we worry, we believe more in our problems than in God's promises. Listen to this one. The hardest wart to remove is the worry wart. That's it. Come on, Lisa. Amen. And think of this. Listen, worry gives small things big shadows. Would you agree with that? Amen? Amen? Well, you know, what did they say to David? You know, they were saying, David, he's too big for you to fight. You know what David said? He's too big for me to miss. Come on, amen? And listen, I didn't see any worry. The only time I saw worry in David is when Saul tried to put his armor on him. So this ain't fit. This is not how I killed the lion and bear. I didn't use this armor, your armor, Saul. I used the armor of God. Come on, somebody. Amen? David was filled with the power of God, didn't worry about the enemies. Now, I'm sharing this message with all y'all because I need this. I need this all the time. Amen. So here's another one. Worrying locks you into your present and holds you back from your future. These are truths I accumulated over the years. Let me give you another one. It said the man yesterday who worried about tomorrow isn't here today. Come on, he's missing, amen? And so listen to this. I like Spurgeon, and you may not know him. He's the Prince of Preachers, powerful man of God. I think it was Spurgeon who said, worrying is praying to the wrong God. Isn't that good? Amen? Worrying is praying to the wrong God. Worrying about tomorrow takes your blessings away from you today. And I want to tell you here today, we are praying, we are worshiping, we are quoting this scripture, we are kicking worry out, anxiety out, because we're going to get our blessings today. Come on, give them some glory, amen? I like this one. Worrying is like a rocket chair. You just keep on rocking and you go nowhere. The old rocket chair. Now let me make a real powerful statement here this morning. A real powerful statement. Let me share this with you. God is absolutely in control of planet Earth. Can I go further? God is absolutely in control of the universe. Do you know if we were just a several degrees off, closer to the sun, we would burn? We are so perfectly spaced that God has created us and created the earth and every planet and every universe. So he's in control of the earth. In fact, the Bible says, check this out, heaven is his throne and earth is his footstool. Amen? And so, but how many here love that song that Michael W. Smith wrote? It's called Awesome God. Someone say, awesome God. I was just thinking of this last night. That every time, no matter how old the song is, it never gets old. How many would agree with me on that? Man, he comes out and starts thumping and thumping. And every time it fills me with faith, it fills me with courage, and it fills me with the Holy Ghost. I love what Michael Smith wrote. We were praying and thanking God. Thank God for Michael Smith. Amen. Here's what he wrote. When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on the Ritz. Our God is an awesome God. There's thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. And the Lord wasn't joking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. And return is very close, so you better get believing. Stay with me. Our God is an awesome God. Listen to what he says. I love this part. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom and love and power. Our God is an awesome God. And let me read the memo this morning in case you missed it. Our God's an awesome God. Amen? Can I tell you this? He's mighty, he's all-knowing, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient, he'll provide for you, he'll heal you, he'll deliver you. Come on, somebody. He'll set you free, he'll set your family free, he'll save your family, save your marriage, he'll destroy your enemies. You want to know why? Because our God is an awesome God. Come on, give him some glory. Hallelujah. Now, let me read Philippians 4, 6, and it really can get deep, or if I could call it deep, it's just so profound, because when you do what we would call in Bible school a hermeneutical study, hermeneutics is the art of interpretation, where, when, why, and how, and why they're saying it, then you do an exegesis on the words, and you get blown away. I kind of don't want to get caught up on that too much. But Paul said this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. And so it's interesting, and I'll share more of this. You'll hear it over my messages, because this word supplicate is so deep. And I think I shared it already. But note that it says prayer and supplication. You go, well, what is supplication? Supplication is prayer. However, it's the deepest prayer of a human being that can possibly ever experience. And so we know the word that we're used to. If I said to you, what is the most deepest type of prayer? Does anybody have that word? Travail. That's right, travail. But you won't find the word travail in the Bible, but you'll find supplicate. It's synonymous with travail. Supplicate is literally where a person gets to a place of wit's end. You find that, I believe, in Psalms 107. It's wit's end. And really the illustration that the psalmist gives is wit's end. It's like a ship that's being tossed to and fro, and you're on the ship, and you have no control, and you're just being beat all over the place, and you're just at the wit's end. And I want to tell you something about Wits End. You'll find Jesus at Wits End. Come on, somebody. Amen. I want to let you know, you might hit rock bottom, but I'm going to let you know that every time you might hit rock bottom, Jesus is at the rock of your bottom. He is the rock of your bottom. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I don't want to get too much in this. We'll talk too much about it. But what's so awesome is I share this even in prayer requests often. You'll hear when we have prayer requests, I'll mention this. And that's why, you know, we do this. It says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything but prayer. You know, we pray and then supplicate. Got to go deeper. How many here have gone deep with God? How many here have been betrayed by your friend or family, and all you could do is fall? You didn't even have the words to pray. How many here, you've experienced pain, you've experienced need, you've experienced sickness, you've experienced someone dying or death at your door, and you have fell to your knees? You know what's so awesome about supplicate? Supplicate, there's no vernacular that defines supplicate. Prayer, we see in the inauguration of President Trump or all the presidents, they usually have a pastor or chaplain that prays. And they're profound. If you ever listen, they usually read it, because they just don't come off the hip. And they read it. They read it. And those are prayers. You'll find it through Scripture. Prayers. Supplicate has no vernacular. I'm getting lost. Let me back off on this. We'll get into that. But here's my point. Then you got to get to the place. Prayer. Watch this. Supplication. Come on. What's next? Thanksgiving. What is it? It's an attitude of faith. What was the song? He did it and I believe it. Come on, somebody. God's promised it. He said it and we believe it. That's where we can thank God. Can we thank God this morning for what God has done today? Hallelujah. You didn't come to church because it's church. You didn't come here just to sit in here and hear me yell and scream. You didn't come here to drop a couple of bucks in the offering. You know why you came here today? You came here and God led you here, because every time you come before God in worship and prayer and supplication, He does something supernatural. Why? Because He's faithful. I want to let you know, whether you know it or not, God has done something in your life. Come on, thank Him for that. Anyhow, let me move on. So let me here's the bottom line. Are you ready? What are the first four words of verse 6? Be anxious for nothing. Can you say that with me? Be anxious for nothing. And listen, that's what God is telling us. Now you might say, well, that's pretty cool. That's a perfect. Well, listen, that's the word. Imagine if God said in this word, you can be anxious for a few things, but don't get overwhelmed with your anxiety. We'd be dead. How many of you know that Jesus sets a pretty good high standard? And it's attainable. Are you right now? Now I got to go here. So bear with me, because I just want to shoot over to Matthew chapter 6. Note this. Hang with me to Philippians. You're still there. We may come back to that. I'm not sure. But Matthew 6 is called the Sermon on the Mount, right? So a sermon to love your enemies, you know, do good to those who hate you. Oh, incredible, powerful sermon. And then, wouldn't you know it, that one of the highlights that parallels and emphasizes the longest portion of the chapter is where Jesus comes in and talks about how we should not worry. How many of you know that God, you know, He understands us? Amen? Therefore, I say to you, this is chapter 6, verse 20. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry. Be happy. Can you say that with me? Don't worry. Be happy. All right, watch this. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you put on it. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than them? Are you not more value than the birds? Don't say yes. Come on, you got value. Watch this. Verse 27. Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to your stature? Can somebody say, don't worry, be happy? That's what you listen. He says it again. That's verse 27. Then he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Don't worry. be happy. And Jesus continues on. Check this out. Verse 30. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry. Someone say, don't worry. Be happy. Are you hearing how many times Jesus is talking about don't worry, be happy? And you might say, he's not saying be happy. Listen, what did he say? Blessed are those, amen? And that really means happy, but it's not a happy like, whoa, we're at a birthday party, we're eating cake and candy. That's not what he means. He means secure and full of joy. And so he says, therefore, don't be worried, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. I have another message on that. In other words, they worry. You want to know why they worry? They worry because they don't have Jesus. Are you hearing me? He was talking about those who really don't have a belief system. They don't trust in God. And that's what he's pointing out. He says that's what they're worrying about, but you're different. And listen, he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all those things. Not the $200 Jordan sneakers, Andy. Are you hearing me? Amen. Hallelujah. He's satisfied with those $54 little, what do we call them back in the day? Scrubs. What do we call them, Tom? Scrubs. Amen. Anyway, that's all. So, because the Lord will provide for us. Watch what he says. He says this, and this is so, so powerful. Then he goes into this, verse 33. Verse 33. I mean, you talk about a power-packed truth. But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things shall be added on. I just spoke that into my heart and your heart. Come on. With thanksgiving, make your request be made known to God. Give God a big clap offering today. Then, that's 33, he ends with 34. He says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Someone say, don't worry, be happy. Come on. So understand this. About seven times. Did you get that? Sermon on the Mount. Seven times. He said this more than love your neighbor. He emphasized this reality. How many here know America has more people, there's more people sick in America than any other country? And one of the main thing is anxiety. Amen? And what do they put you on? They put you on all kinds of pills and all kinds of stuff. Now, you know what God is saying? You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying, don't worry. In fact, in verse 25, Jesus said, don't worry about your life. And that's the Greek word for life is souk, which means the temporal physical needs. God will take care of you. He said, stop worrying. Someone say, stop worrying. And so verse 27 says, which one of you can add one cubit to his body by worrying? And then he goes into this, verse 31. Do not worry about food and drink. Now, half America, how many here, is struggling with being overweight and overweight and diabetes. Amen? God will provide. God will provide. And this is message. You know what often happens where people, have anxiety and so on? Listen, about 6 or 7 years ago, I went through a major, major trial of my life. I'm telling you, within a month or two, I put on 25 pounds. How many know what I'm talking about? Because it was just satisfying me. It was just worrying me. And when I ate and watched TV, I forgot about the worry. Only when the program was off, and come on, somebody, and the Dunkin' Donuts and ice cream was finished, I still worry. Come on. Amen? Now, not coming against Dunkin' Donuts a little bit. All right, anyway. So here's the deal. So Jesus says in verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. And so that's so interesting. You know, that he says that, and that's so hard. The Greek word there is don't start worrying. And here's the good news. If you stop worrying, you'll start living life. Hallelujah. And can I just say something, especially to some of you ladies out here, and also us men, listen to this. Don't worry about growing older because it happens. Now wait, I'm not finished. Do you know this, that worrying makes your face filled with wrinkles? Are you hearing me? Come on, somebody, amen? And so, do you know when you worry and your face is like this, more wrinkles show up? But when you smile and you're full of joy, they go away. Come on! Hallelujah, amen? So worrying fills the face with wrinkles. So the best thing you could do if you want the fountain of youth is don't worry and be happy. Ha ha! Amen. Now, you know medical science, not theologians. Medical science proclaim that worrying is the mother of sickness. It's the mother of cancer. It really is. And that's why Jesus said, stop worrying. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. And you're not going to forget our title today. Don't worry and be happy. And stop worrying and start living. Amen? So let me bring this home real quick with you, because I want to give you a couple of powerful truths. And they're in your notes there. Because just a few powerful truths to defeat worry and anxiety. Number one, you have it there. God will always be by your side. Know that. No matter what you're going through. All of us have powerful missions. Amen? All of us do. And when you step out, I want you to know Jesus is with you. Now, of course, I'll relate a little something in just a moment about something, but know this, he's with you. Now, the Great Commission really concludes in Matthew chapter 28, and it's the last testimony of Jesus. And I've shared this, I think, a couple of weeks ago, or I shared it, I can't remember where I shared it. I shared it in Richmond. And Jesus said, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And watch, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And what does he say? And lo, I am with you. Come on, somebody, even to the end of the age. How many know he's our Alpha and he's our Omega? He's with you from the beginning and he's with you to the end. He never leave you or forsake you. That's our Savior. Don't worry, be happy. Jesus is on your side and he's with you. You know, just for a moment, because when you minister the gospel, because one of the dynamics that really helps a healthy church and births a church is by you sharing the love of Jesus with your neighbors and your friends. And I've shared it with our friends. My neighbors have gone to our church and come to our outreaches and all that good stuff. He sold his house. Pete, we're going to miss him. And we got a young couple that's moving in. I can't wait to get to know them. Amen? Ha. So anyway, but what's so awesome is sometimes, you know, you might feel like a fool to share the gospel. You know, the upright just share the gospel. And I want to tell you, sometimes when you feel that, I want you to know Jesus is with you. And oftentimes when you feel that, that means Jesus wants you to speak. So if you're intimidated in that moment and something comes up and says, share the gospel, I want to tell you, and you're afraid, Jesus is going to do something powerful through your message. Don't back up. And sometimes we do. I get it. I remember I was in Washington Square Park, and we had these outreaches going on. And there's a track that I absolutely love. I'll find it. And you may have seen it. Pastor, you might have seen it. Diane, you've seen it. And some of you, I don't want to say, well, some of you long, the people who've been saved a long time have seen it. And what it is, it's about this big, and it looks like a dollar bill, the size of a dollar bill, but it's folded in half. And it literally is it looks like a dollar bill, like there's dollar bill. But it says, how much do you think you're worth? And I'm in Washington Square Park handing them out. And there's these three, young girls, like kind of my age. And they're saying things to me, you know, not good things. And, like, you know, hey, all this stuff. And I hand them a track. And it says, how much you think you're worth? And nobody opened it. And they were all looking, oh, how much you think I'm worth? You want me? You know, all this stuff. And I was just in the spirit. And I just said, open it. Three of them. And the big mouth one. Saying all this stuff, they open it, absolutely crumbles. You know what it opened? It was a hand with a nail in it, blood shedding down. It says, God thinks you're worth the death of his son. Blue, crumbled. The other two girls didn't know what to do, and I just prayed for her. Amen? Guess what? Jesus was with me. Come on, amen? Hallelujah. When you step out, God does some incredible, incredible things. He does. Now, let me remind you what David proclaimed in Psalms 23, remember? How many, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, leads me beside still pastures, restores my soul, and so forth. Then he said this in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Can I highlight this dynamic? God will always be on your side. David understood this. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Come on. I don't know what you're going through, but I want to let you know, don't worry. Be happy. The king is with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now let me go to this second dynamic that I want to share with you this morning. How to defeat worry and anxiety. So, number one, God will always be with you. Number two, check this out. God will fight for you. God will fight for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know the message of Jehoshaphat and so on. And Jehoshaphat is being just inundated and threatened and ready to be attacked by Philistines and Midianites and all that. And God said this, position yourself. Come on. And he said, fast, pray, position yourself. Then he said, sing psalms. And then the verse says, for I will fight your battle. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And so check this out. My Miriam's sister, Helen, who comes here, and she'll allow me to say this, was going through a major trauma in her family. Major trauma. You know, just a major situation. And it was just amazing because I witnessed to her for 25, 30 years or more. And, well, this probably happened about 10 years ago. So I was witness to her for about 25 straight years. I telling her to come to church. And she never really got into the Word. Let me tell you how faithful God is. She's weeping and crying in her car. Doesn't know what to do. She just found this betrayal. You probably can relate, not understand. A major betrayal was discovered in her life. And she's weeping and crying. And when she's calling me and telling me this story with joy and with confidence. And she said, Jimmy, you're not going to believe what happened. So what happened? I'm driving full of anxiety, almost ready to crash into a truck. And as I skid on the brakes, I look up and the truck was dirty. So dirty that somebody wrote on it, Exodus 14. 14. Come on, somebody, amen? You might say, well, what does that say? I'll tell you what it says. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. She ran home and read this. And she hung on it. She lived it. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. Someone say today. Are you hearing me? For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Verse 14. The Lord will fight for you. Hold your peace. Come on, somebody. That's a promise in your anxiety, in your worry, in your betrayal, in your attacks. That's the God we serve. Give him some glory. I don't know. I'm preaching more to myself. Amen. Let me give you the third powerful truth to defeat worry and anxiety. Remember, number one, God's with you always. Number two, God will fight your battle. Number three, check this out. God remembers you and knows you by name. He's not this like big corporate God. He's a personal Lord and Savior. Amen? You know when I first started hearing that and it penetrated me? It was the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Anybody remember him? Who? Tom Landry. Do you know he used to say that? Does anybody remember that? I have a personal relationship with Jesus. I remember that. And him saying that. And know what Scripture says. I love this Scripture all over the Bible, but I love Isaiah 43:1. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. This scripture isn't just for the people of children of Israel. When God wrote down these scriptures inspired by the Holy Ghost, God wrote them down for us today. Listen to what he says. He knows us by name, and you're mine. Amen? You're mine. Hallelujah. Do you remember the prodigal son? Do you remember what he was rehearsing over and over and over again? Do you know that story? We emphasize the prodigal son, but you know the highlight of that story is really the faithfulness of a loving father. And who did the father? Jesus told the story. The father's got the father. And the son was rehearsing over and over and over again. He said, I'm going to come home and tell my dad, I'm not worthy to be your servant. So I'm not worthy. And he's repeating, he's got it all memorized. And his father, remember, is as you know the story, the father is waiting there. Maybe there's this trail and road. And every day he's saying, my son's going to come home. I know one day I'm going to see him. And it says he sees his boy in the distance. And he runs to him. Come on. What does the son say? Father, I'm not worthy to be your son. Just make me a servant. Guess what dad says? Oh no, you're my son. Yells to his servants, get a fatted calf, get a robe, get a ring, get a sandal. My son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. I know his name and I'm never going to forget him. Come on, he remembers you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jeremiah said this in chapter 1. He wrote this, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I knew you. Hallelujah. Psalms 139 says this, oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. How many here? So awesome. You know, you try to bring instruction to somebody. Well, God knows my heart. He sure does, but you don't. Amen. God knows your heart. Are you with me? The heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. That's why we got to know God, because we don't know our own. But he says, Lord, you've searched me and you know me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path, my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I can't even contain it, he says. I cannot attain it. You know what King David is saying? He's saying, let me put it in our words, because he's awestruck. And so if that's me and you, you know, we probably say something like this, you know, when we say such knowledge is too wonderful, it's high, I cannot attain. We would say, I can't believe this. Are you kidding me? This is crazy how much God knows me and loves me. Can I say it again? It is out of this world. It is crazy. It's insane how much God knows me and loves me. Come on, give him some glory. Sorry, you're getting me excited. All right, let me just move forward because I really got. I'll probably just end with this real quick. Listen, let me just give you the most inspiring encounter in the Bible that touches my heart so deeply. Anytime I read it and review it or preach it, it's in regards to Jesus knows my name. Jesus invites Peter to the last breakfast. Remember, Last Supper. But then he has a purpose after the resurrection. You with me? You remember that? And so it's so cool because they're fishing and all that. And he tells them where to fish. They get the muddle load. Are you hearing? They get the muddle. 153 huge fish. Biggest fish catch that Peter's ever had. And they've ever had. Then Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples asked him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And Jesus then took bread, broke it. That's a whole other thing. But listen, here's what's so awesome. Because in John 21, verse 15, it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said, listen to this, Simon Peter, watch this. He said to Simon Peter, are you ready for this? He said, Simon, son of Jonah. He said it three times. He didn't say Peter. He said, Simon, son of Jonah. You know, what am I emphasizing? He didn't call him Peter. He said, I'm going to name you Peter. He said, Simon, it's me. I know you. He spoke to him from the depth of his heart. And what did he say? He said, do you love me more than these? Maybe he's pointing to the fish. And he goes again. And Simon goes, yes. Simon Jonah says, yes. And then he says, Simon Jonah, do you love me? And Peter says, yes. And then he goes again, Simon Jonah. Because then Jesus said, feed my lambs. And then, yes, I do. You know I do. Tend to my sheep. And so what does God say? God remembers you and knows us by name. Amen? God remembers you and knows you by name. Listen, you remember this. You're unique. God knows you. And he knows your pain. And there's not another person on earth just quite like you. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're unique. And some of you rolled your eyes. You really are. When you were born, think about this. Listen, the genius of heaven exploded and made you individually unique. And don't try to be a cheap copy of someone else. Are you hearing me? Stop worrying about who you're not and start being happy. Don't worry about who you are. Come on. You're a masterpiece from the hand of God. Hallelujah. We need to lift our heads. Get out of the anxiety. Get out of the worry. Square our shoulders up. Act like it. Talk like it. Walk like it. Come on. You are royalty. You're a child of the king. You're a king and priest in high places. You're an ambassador. You are somebody. Give God some glory. Amen. Let's stand. Worship team, come on up. Let's stand and pray. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. My fifth point, you'll see it in the notes. I think it's God is your refuge or something. But I just want to, I only got the three. God's plan is better than yours. Sorry. We'll maybe do that next Sunday. And I think number five is God is a refuge. I don't have my little notepad there. But God's plans are so much better than yours. But let's talk. I want to just pray today. You know, the cliche, it's not a cliche. You know, be happy. No, don't worry, be happy. You know, I want you to think about that song, but it's so true. You know, be happy. I mean, don't worry, be happy. Because that's the role. The result of not worrying is joy, security, and peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests for you to know, be made known to God. And with thanksgiving. And the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding. And we struggle with human understanding when we're going through hell's fire. But today, God spoke to us. Give us peace over every trial. Remember, one of the wonderful Christmas ornaments says what? Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Amen? And that's what Jesus came. Hallelujah. He's the third man in the fire. Hallelujah. And I want to pray for all of you here today, this morning. How many here say this word spoke to me? Raise your hand. Is that right? Amen. Amen. Boy, do we live in a stressed out society. Long Island. Thank God for church. Hallelujah. So I want to pray for all of you here today. And then I'm going to open it up after I pray for all of you corporately. I'm going to open it up. And if you'd like to come up, and we would anoint you with oil and pray for you. We'll take some time at the altar if you'd like to come up. But could you put your hand on your heart as I do with myself? Could you say this with me? Dear Jesus, in your name, in your power, in my redemption, as a child of God, I rebuke anxiety. Build a shield around me of your presence, of your power. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every word that rises up against me shall be condemned, because this is my heritage as a child of God. I thank you for freedom and authority over worry and anxiety. And I proclaim the peace of God that surpasses all human understanding to guard my heart and my life in Christ Jesus. Now let's give him a big thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We're going to be up here. You can be dismissed. Tell 7 people you love them. But if you need prayer, come on up. We'll just pray. We have anointing oil. We want to pray, anoint you with oil. Ask God to touch you, bless you. We love you. Don't forget to sign up for our dinner, please. There's information in the back. In the foyer. We love you. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.